It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning. You all right? It is Monday morning, the 5th of January in the year of our Lord, 2026, and it is the inaugural Breakfast with Bo. The Bo Show. So, welcome. Welcome aboard. If you're here watching this live, or indeed later today, then you're part of a glorious band. The chosen few to be here from the beginning for something. It's probably going to be pretty special, isn't it? Let's be honest. I'm joined by my producer, Harry. Say hello, Harry.
Good morning.
That's little Harry. And he's not very little. He's like 6 foot, 6'1". How tall are you, Harry?
5'11", I think.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, still, not that little, not little. But little compared to the other Harry in the office, Harry Robinson, who is a giant, let's be honest. So, poor little Harry, who's not even little. But there you go, that's what he gets called. He's like my comedy Dave, my sidekick Simon, my young Jamie. And you are quite young, aren't you, Harry? Are you 19 or are you 20 now?
I'm 20 now.
Okay, so there you go. A babe in arms. So if I do like 80s references, he's not going to get them. And I do a fair bit of 80s references. I can't even help myself. They just slip in there. All right, so let's get started. Everyone's back to work today. You know, millions of people across Britain, across the world, I would have thought, back to work, back to school. And so usually what I plan to do in the normal course of events is jump pretty much straight into the news. That's what this show is, a roundup of the day's news, what's in the news cycle today. For people that haven't got time during the day to just be constantly checking the news, constantly on Twitter. If you've got an actual job, a normal job, where you can't do that, you're not allowed to do that. It would be good. I think a lot of people do get sort of a news hit in the mornings. So Lotus Eaters wanted to offer you something like that. I always thought it's something I could do, I'd like to do, so we're going to do that. But usually, most days, I'm going to jump straight into that. But because it's the first episode, I'll just do a little bit of preamble just to let you know what we're going to do. And this will probably change over the first few days, weeks, even months. Probably tweak it here and there. Things that don't really work will drop and start trying new things, see what people like, see what people don't like, see what I'm comfortable with. But to begin with, we'll go through the papers, the front pages of the papers in Britain. Then we'll have a look at a few different websites, you know, BBC, Channel 4, The Mail Online, whatever. All those sorts of things. But then go around the world. You want to go around the world. Look at things like Le Monde. Look at what's going on in France. Look at Bild, the Germans. You know, maybe have a look at what's in like the preeminent Russian news organ. The biggest Indian, Chinese ones. Go from west to east. Go around the world. And look at America. You know, look at the LA Times. Look at like, the New York Post, the Washington Post, New York Times, Washington Post, stuff like that. I think that will fill an hour. Well, it will. But if it doesn't, we've got other little things, sort of, and finally, topics, like science. I'm interested in science news. So if there's time on any given day, we'll have a quick look at that. And also possibly things like On This Day in History. There's a few different websites that like On This Day in History, because, you know, every single day, there's loads of things that happened throughout the centuries that could be mentioned. So it's sort of an and finally segment. And then if we've got time, you know, comments, anything in the chat that was particularly good or super chats, things like that. And as I say, as we go on, we may tweak it and change it over the coming days and weeks. All right, so another thing to say before we jump in is that obviously some days are going to be quite slow news days where there's nothing seismic has particularly happened. And all the papers will go with all sorts of different things, and the news cycle will be sort of all over the shop. And then some days it's going to be dominated by one thing. You know, if there's one massive thing that happened the previous day, obviously the news cycle in that morning will be dominated by the thing. And today is one of those days. And I suspect those days will probably be slightly rarer. So we're starting off with perhaps an anomaly. I don't know. We'll see. But the big news, of course, is the Venezuela thing, the Maduro affair. Donald Trump throwing his weight around in South America, the Monroe Doctrine. Do you get that, Harry? A take on like the Monroe Doctrine? Do you get that reference?
No.
Okay. The Monroe Doctrine was the idea that America's sphere, broadly speaking, the sphere of influence in Central and South America. It's like, you know, the United States won't let anyone else dominate that area. You know, they're neighbours, basically, in the region. And Donald Trump said that perhaps with the Venezuela thing, it's like the Monroe Doctrine. It's a bad pun. All right, it's a bad pun. Okay. All right. So let's kick off then. Let's start. Let's have a look. So the BBC do a web page which shows you the papers. There we go. I don't know, Harry, if you flick to that, if it's up on my little screen. I don't see exactly what you get to see on the internet. So I'm just trusting that Harry's got it all in hand. Yeah, all good. Getting the thumbs up. All right. So, yeah, the BBC have a web page like this that shows the front pages of the papers. So let's just kick off. Let's see what we got. So first of all, the Financial Times, you know, one of the more eminent newspapers in Britain, although to be honest, in the last few years, it does still come out with a bunch of woke crap a fair amount of the time, but still, not that it's ever particularly based, but it's slightly more based than most of the others. Okay. The Financial Times: Trump piles fresh pressure on Venezuela. White House retains optionality to use further armed force if needed. So that was one of the things. I watched Donald Trump's and Rubio's press conference yesterday, and a couple other bits and bobs since. I saw Trump talking on Air Force One, and a couple other things. He did another interview with the Atlantic. And they said, look, what if this doesn't work? You know, you sort of cut the head off the serpent, if you like, but what if it proves to be a hydra and it just goes, it all goes belly up, Iraq style? Are you going to be prepared to put boots on the ground? I mean, more than just a special forces team. You know, would you send in the Marine Corps? Would you send in like the 1st Armored Division or whatever? And his response was, yeah, if needs be. You know, he doesn't want to say, I don't want to, I don't think I'll need to, but don't think I'm afraid to, was his response, which is both sort of pragmatic, a little bit chilling, you know. But I mean, what else could you say? If you're prepared to pull the trigger on this thing, you've got to go whole hog, I suppose, if needs be. Because people are saying it's like, oh, it's another forever war. Trump promised he would be like the anti-war president, and in his first term, and so far in this term, almost entirely is. I mean, not entirely. It's one of those things, if you're president of the United States, even if you're like Jimmy Carter, i.e., you know, not very warlike, much more a dove than a hawk, you still find yourself embroiled in military things abroad, right? It's still going to happen. There's no way to avoid it, I would have thought. At some point, as president of the United States, even if it's small, limited things, not that this is limited, I'm not saying that, but you know, it's going to be impossible to be a truly, truly 100% peaceful president of the United States. I remember once actually Dan Carlin said, if you want to be like a leader of men, you want to be the president of the United States, or you want to go down in history as a Caesar or a Napoleon or a George Washington type figure, well, be prepared to kill loads of people. Whether you know, justly or not. If you're not prepared to do that, you already almost certainly won't be able to sort of sit in those top seats Anyway, Trump has shown himself, hasn't he, of the years, that he is prepared to pull the trigger on various things. Remember that Qassem Soleimani, Iranian general guy that he just droned to bits in Baghdad airport? Remember that? When he bombed Iran last year with the B-2, the stealth bomber. You know, so Trump isn't afraid to use force when he feels he needs to, despite being... I get why some MAGA people, or maybe quite a lot of MAGA people, are a little annoyed with Trump. It's like, I thought you were the peace guy. I thought you were the guy that didn't start wars. Well, it just is what it is, I suppose. If you're going to make big plays on the international stage, it's going to require, if not like, you know, full-blown Iraq 2003-style invasions, at least like special forces raids. Right. Again, I think of Jimmy Carter. Like, it's impossible. It's kind of impossible, I would have thought, to completely be a peaceful president. But okay, what is it? Maduro due in New York court today after a dramatic weekend abduction. Yeah, so that's the other thing people have said, and I think I agree with them, that it's basically an illegal action, what he did. You know, the United States are saying that it's a police action. You know, it was the DEA that have arrested him because he's up on criminal charges. It's a police action. We may have used Delta Force and like the US Navy and the Air Force and whatever to sort of apprehend him, abduct him. But it's actually just a police action. You know, Rubio's like, we're not at war. But let's be clear, we're not at war with Venezuela. But nonetheless, you know, it is a kidnapping. Right? I mean, it is. The idea that Maduro has to answer to criminal charges in the Southern District of New York. Well, that's not a thing, is it? He's a Venezuelan person in Venezuela. But nonetheless, there you go, police action. Didn't Eisenhower call the whole Korean War a police action? So there you go, call it what you want. Might is right. And I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's particularly just or righteous. I think it is kind of righteous because I hate Maduro. He's a communist. He ruined that country, made lives a misery for loads and loads of nearly all Venezuelans. An absolute misery. Tanked the economy. You know, I think he's a bad guy. But it's still a kidnapping, right? It's still, you know, at odds with international law. But you go, might is right. And once again, I'm not saying it's fair. It's not fair, is it? You know, like when Putin will just like poison the leader of like Uzbekistan or whatever. Not that he did that, but you know, he does things like that. It's like, well, who's going to stop him? You know, when Xi, when that Winnie the Pooh fella over there in Beijing, when he just like illegally arrests and detains a bunch of people from Nepal or something, or Tibet rather, sorry, Tibet, something like that, loads of Chinese dissidents just disappear. It's like, well, he's got the power. What are you going to do? If you can't physically stop someone from doing something, you know, that's the end of the story, really, isn't it? I mean, if you look at America and how they've, or not just America, but you look at how big powers in the world have sort of flouted international law over the years, yeah, this is nothing particularly new. I think of Noriega, for example, when they go after someone like El Chapo or Escobar, right? The DEA just murdered Escobar on a rooftop in Colombia, right? So things like this happen. So, you know, it is what it is. The United States, I remember, what was it when the League of Nations came out, Woodrow Wilson's baby, the League of Nations, when it came out, like a new product. Remember when the League of Nations came out? Remember that? And then the US Senate and Congress say, no, we're not doing that. Forget that. We're not going to be bound by that. Or like the UN. How many times since World War II have the UN said to one country, you can't do that. Don't do that. And the country's just like, nah, we're going to do it anyway. Screw you. You can't stop us. This is one of those things, isn't it? It is what it is. Okay, sorry. Back to the Financial Times. I think they're in a lot of trouble. That's a quote. I think they're in a lot of trouble. Rubio issues threats against Cuba. So there's another thing a bit on this story, isn't it? Is that it does send a message to other countries that Trump, you know, can just do stuff. Like there's this thing Nixon would talk about, Richard Nixon, that the rest of the world is really talking about the Soviets at that point. It's the 70s, still late 60s, early 70s, it's still the Cold War. That he, as President of the United States, his enemies need to think of him, or need to know, really, that he's some sort of mad dog that will do violent things. So don't mess with him. Again, it sort of is what it is. That's power, isn't it? When there's a bunch of big cabals in the world, big powers, governments, if you're going to dominate them, force your will on them, then they've got to know that you're for real, that you really will do it. So, yeah, it is a message, isn't it, to places like Cuba. Trump has been always quite vocal, and was in the press conference yesterday, that he would think about doing something against Cuba if they don't sort of fall in line a bit more. Colombia, the Colombia guy, a few weeks back, was it a month or two back, when someone asked Trump about Colombia, the Colombian leader, Trump said he better watch his ass. Trump said that he better watch his ass. And in the press conference yesterday, someone said, is that still the case? And he was like, yeah. Yeah, it is. Look out. Like, stop playing games. If you F around, you may well find out. You may well find Delta Force knocking at your door. I mean, yeah, you know, or Greenland. Not that you'd need Delta Force to sort of do any raids in Greenland, but, you know, Trump has made it very clear he's got designs, sort of grand strategic designs, on Greenland. He thinks it's in the United States' national interest to sort of fully control or annex Greenland. I don't know the exact plan. I don't know if anyone knows the exact plan, but, you know, he's got designs on Greenland, which belongs to Denmark, basically. Little old Denmark. Denmark cannot stop Donald Trump from taking Greenland if he decides he's just going to use executive action, Maduro style, Soleimani style, just to take Greenland. No one can stop him. So, yeah, it is, and loads of other countries like Iran. You know, look out, Iran. Look out, Mr. Ayatollah. Is what this says, doesn't it? And anywhere else in the world, on Twitter, a lot of people joking, a lot of Brits joking. Come and do it to Starmer. I don't want that, to be clear. Not that I like the Starmer government, of course I don't. But I don't think I don't want that. I haven't advocated for that. But it's a funny thing to say, isn't it? I think I saw even some French people saying, "Come pull a Maduro on Macron for us, Mr. Trump." I hope. All joking aside, I hope that the Venezuelan people will be relieved of some of their misery and financial ruin. Right, that would be nice, wouldn't it? To be let up from the stranglehold of socialism, which has, to be fair, pretty much ruined their country. It was a prosperous and you know, wealthy-ish for South America country, and now it's, you know. So hopefully history will show, fingers crossed, that this was actually a good use of a little bit of sort of surgical violence. And it was violent, you know, if anyone saw the images, a few bombs going off in Caracas, right, the skyline with US helicopters, Black Hawks flying across the skyline. Apparently, something in the order of between 30 and 40 odd Venezuelan, whether they were army guys or just Maduro's sort of personal security, but something in the region of 30 plus dudes got killed by Delta Force. So it wasn't entirely bloodless. No Delta Force guys died, apparently. Apparently a couple were injured, shot, but have survived. One US helicopter apparently was damaged, but was still able to fly, was still able to get back to the aircraft carrier, or whatever it was, just off the coast. So, I mean, in terms of special forces raids, a smashing success, just purely in terms of that operation. I'm fascinated by special forces raids. This week on Epochs, my show on Epochs, should I give it a quick plug? Is that out of line? Is that out of order?
I mean, it's behind you.
Harry's also helps edit does all the editing, really, for the Epochs show on the website. If you're watching this on YouTube or something later, there is the Lotus Eaters website, And if you go on there, there's all sorts of free content like the daily podcast, but there's also some paywalled content. Dan Tubb does a show. Luca Johnson does a show. I've got a show, my history themed show called Epochs. Long form, me, just talking about history things. 244 episodes now, is it? So a few hundred hours of me talking about history. Last, and they always come out on a Sunday. Last Sunday's one, yesterday's one, was about a special forces raid, the SAS, in the Iranian embassy siege in 1980, saving a load of hostages, all but one hostage, and killing all but one terrorist, and apprehending the other terrorist. So I'm fascinated by special forces raids. It'll be interesting to see if and when they make some sort of TV show or movie about Delta Force in Caracas on Saturday. Yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. All right. Let's go back. Sorry. We had the Financial Times. What else have we got here? We got the Guardian. Oh. The Guardian. Okay, what's The Guardian say? Trump warns of, quote, big price to pay if Caracas fails to toe line. Yeah, so if you take away the head of state, the obvious question is, well, who's head of state now? Who's the leader now? You know, because the problem is, the worry is that just like in Iraq, the spectre of Iraq 2003, is that if you just remove a strong man, or any leader actually, if you just remove them, literally just cut the head off the snake, then you're either going to have a power vacuum, and power vacuums are always bad. History shows power vacuums are nearly always bad. That's the problem with true hardline libertarianism. Is that it's like power vacuums nearly always get filled by somebody somehow. Anyway, won't get into the nature of libertarianism, but you either have a power vacuum or you have factional infighting, and that can quite often descend into a nightmare, a sectarian bloodbath nightmare, exactly what happened in Iraq. So no one wants that for Venezuela, right? So the question remains, who's the leader then? So they got the deputy leader, that woman, Rodriguez. She was they made it clear, the Venezuelans themselves made it clear pretty quickly, you know, by the afternoon on Saturday, that she was, you know, the interim leader, the provisional leader. Because she's the vice president. So that is sort of the legit, line of succession. If Maduro died of a heart attack in his sleep on Saturday night, it would pass to her. So that seems reasonable and fair enough. But the thing is, where Trump has done this and is now claiming that the Pentagon and the State Department are just going to run Venezuela, and that was the quote, they're going to run it. Someone on Twitter, I thought it was quite funny, said, what's he talking about? It's not a football team. Like, running Venezuela. Well, that was the terminology. That was the word he used. Not governing, ruling, but run it. We're going to run Venezuela. Okay. So the question is, where does the seat of power really lie? Who's really pulling the levers of power, the cockpit? Where does all real big policy get decided? Is it with this Rodriguez lady, or is it with Trump and Rubio, essentially? Well, Trump has said it's with them. And he's got the power. He's got the power, right? So to make it clear to her, he has said a few things like, it's basically, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, do as you're told, or will Maduro you? Right? Fall in line. You better bloody well fall in line. Otherwise, it's curtains for you, one way or another. He said, here they go, big price to pay. The quote, there was another quote, so he said, he basically said, you'll find yourself in the same position as Maduro, or worse. Because in the first few hours, she came out and said, all stuff like, we will never be slaves, we'll never be enslaved again, we won't put up with colonialism, all that sort of thing, da-da-da-da-da. Right, a defiant, in other words. Fairly, reasonably defiant. But then she's come out since then, like on Sunday, basically, saying, oh no, we do want cooperation with the US. Actually, we are prepared to completely cooperate with the US, and we're happy to welcome any assistance they can, So she changed her tune pretty quickly. you know, like any politician who isn't a mad dog, you've got to realise what's possible. Right, that is what politics is, the art of the possible. So she's obviously realised she doesn't want to end up in a New York jail either. And then what, ultimately a Supermax prison in Colorado? I mean, because she's been around since the Chavez days. She's absolutely part of this whole thing, the regime as well. So Trump has said he wants to hold elections, have elections, free, real elections in Venezuela, kind of as soon as possible or as soon as it's sort of practicable. And I guess they'll just, I guess the State Department will just sort of force that Rodriguez lady to sort of do that and sort of make that happen. So, okay, Trump's sort of playing, is kind of playing hardball. I swear, you kind of got to, you got a bull by the horns now, right? You've got a tiger by the ears. You've got, you've sort of got to play hardball. There's a, okay, the Times. There's a picture. The picture's coming out of Maduro. Of the Maduro thing is crazy, really. I mean, that's the way the world used to be. When you look back at, like, World War II and before, I mean, you look back at the 19th century, the 18th century, countries used to behave like this much, much more often, i.e. making fairly big plays. Like, to us, this is like a big play, isn't it? It's like a big thing, like a seismic thing has happened. I think we're just used to, like, the 1980s, 90s, and the 2000s, the 21st century. Actually, that's an exception to the rule, where these things don't often happen. In history, things like this, you know, reasonably big moves being played by bigger powers, they just happened all the time. All the time. So if you're a bit more familiar with history, it's not as shocking. Something like this isn't quite as shocking as some people, I think, seem to think it is. Nonetheless, it's still sort of, it's sort of a bit shocking, isn't it? Quite a big play. All right, so what's the Times going? The Times used to be thought of as pretty, not necessarily right-leaning, but right of centre, conservative with a small c. Not so much anymore. I mean, it's not as bad as The Guardian or The Metro or something, but they do still come out with a bunch of woke crap a lot of the time these days. Trump issues warning to Venezuela's new leader. Yeah. Yeah, basically saying, do as you're told. She doesn't have much choice, does she? The Telegraph, the Tory graph. Again, actually, the Telegraph is one of the few that does still print based things sometimes. People on the left think the Telegraph is really right-wing. It's not. It's just not as ridiculously left-wing as, again, something like The Spectator or the Metro or something. Sometimes they print all sorts of globalist anti-white crap. But every now and again, in fact, to be fair to them, they do also print based stuff as well sometimes. One of the last ones, really, to do it. Okay, they've gone with Trump sets sights on Greenland. That's their headline. So yeah, they're obviously going with the angle that that, you know, if Trump can and will do this to somebody like Maduro, because Venezuela is not a small country. Well, I mean, it's relatively small, but what I mean is, in the scheme of things, if you're gonna rank all countries, you know, Venezuela is sort of a middling one, isn't it? It's not absolutely tiny. It's not insignificant. I mean, it's oil reserves. I haven't even talked about the oil angle of it yet. But they've got, like, what is it, a fifth of the world's oil or a seventh of the entire world's crude oil is in Venezuela. So it's not a tiny player, right? It's not Bhutan. So if Trump can do it to Maduro, he could easily do it to Greenland. You literally need to send in, like, one platoon of Marines. Not even special forces, just normal Marines. To take out Greenland. Take it out. You know, do a regime change there. Okay, that's the Telegraph. What have we got next? We've got the Independent. Don't really like the Independent, but they go with, we are not at war, US insists, as it claims control of Venezuela. There you go. Secretary of State Marco Rubio denies there is war between the two countries as military leaders in Caracas call for the release of their president, Nicolas Maduro, set to appear in a Manhattan court today. Yeah, where was the Venezuelan military during all this thing? Or, you know, there was obviously gunfire, like I said already. There was gunplay. But, you know, broadly speaking, the Venezuelan military didn't really turn up, did they? They didn't put up much of a defence. I mean, I'm not blaming them, actually. I'm not blaming them. I'm not just trying to throw shade on the Venezuelan military for the sake of it, for triumphalism. That's not what I'm trying to say here. You know, America had carrier groups off the coast of Venezuela for like weeks now. They imposed a no-fly zone over all of Venezuela before Christmas. The US was somehow able to turn off all the power in Caracas that night. So it seems to me, what I'm trying to say here, is it seems to me that America, it was just a final pushing over a house of cards to actually grab Maduro physically. Already loads of things were in place, it seems. Already loads of Venezuelan infrastructure and military capability was already taken care of, it seems. Were some of them even in on it? Who knows? That's pure conjecture. I don't know about that. But, you know, you might think that they'd seen the writing on the wall and sort of rolled over. Just be like, I don't want to go up against many, many Black Hawks full of Delta Force dudes. That's a death sentence for us, for me. So just let them do what they're going to do, bro, kind of thing. I don't know. But they're saying that they're calling for the release of their president. That's not happening. When you've been arrested by the DEA at the hands of Delta Force and the State Department and the president have greenlit it all, and you've been flown post-haste to the Southern District of New York to face prosecution, Pam Bondi and the DOJ have got a laundry list of crimes they're accusing you of. They're not letting you go. He's not going to let go. I mean, some people have said that it's all trumped up charges. Was that pun intended? Trumped up charges? I don't know. That it's trumped up charges because what he's been accused of is a whole list of things. Gun charges and drug trafficking. Big crimes. Many, many of them. And some people said, that's Trump. That's all fake. That's just America making stuff up for their, so that they can achieve sort of more broad strategic goals. Maduro didn't do nothing. Well, we'll see, because he's going to be put on trial in America. So we'll get to see, we'll get to hear the evidence. According to the Department of Justice, the evidence is massive and overwhelming. But who knows? I mean, we shall see. I suspect they're not lying about that. That's what I suspect. I don't know. I'm not in Maduro's inner entourage, so I obviously don't know. But I suspect when it goes to trial, it will be shown that he sort of was acting effectively as the head of, like, a drugs cartel, or more than one, or whatever. I suspect that would be the case. But, you know, watch your space. We shall see. All right, the Daily Mail. PM faces revolt by Labour's Maduro apologists. So this is a bit of a fallout in Britain, is that our leader, Sir Keir Starmer, it's interesting for a start that he didn't get a call from the State Department or from the White House, either before or after the fact. Usually, it used to be the case all through the Cold War and things, that the UK and the US talked to each other massively about what they plan to do, use each other's intelligence services and even military sometimes to work in unison for all sorts of stuff. Certainly, it used to be the case, even back in like the Blair years, you would have thought that the president would ring up Tony Blair very shortly after something like this and just have a quick word, like literally like a 2-minute, 5-minute call with him. For appearances' sake, if for nothing else, for like, you know, the special relationship, the closest of allies sort of thing. But no, they didn't even call him. And off the back of that, Starmer has like not condemned it, not overtly said this is some sort of international war crime, it's terrible, it's illegal, da da da. He's like sort of keeping his powder dry, and so lots of people in the Labour Party, or Maduro apologists, as the Daily Mail describes them, are annoyed with him about that. Well, what are you going to do? It's interesting, isn't it, how everyone that is annoyed by this, they're either leftists, or, you know, either actual socialists or communists, because their boy, one of their leaders, has sort of got his comeuppance. The other lot, I must say, that don't seem particularly happy with this are those that seem to think that Israel and Netanyahu are behind the whole thing. I don't see that, I must say, because Maduro was very vocally an anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, and Netanyahu shot back and said that he was very, very anti the Maduro regime. And some said that Netanyahu, well, it is the case, that Netanyahu visited Trump just a few days ago and sort of told him to do this. That doesn't make sense. Trump's had a beeline for Maduro ever since his first term. The military had things in place for days and days and days before this. They were just waiting for a window of the weather. It's not the case that Netanyahu went to Trump and said, do this, and Trump said, yes, sir. That's not what happened. Now, it is the case that it's something Netanyahu would want. But okay, so me as an anti-socialist and anti-communist, something I want or would like to see, think makes the world better, happens to line up with something Netanyahu wants. Well, it's just the way it is. What can I say? I think, to be fair, I do think Trump... I think it's certainly the case to say, don't think this is a mad take, that Trump gives Netanyahu and the Israelis far too much influence over him. And that's putting it mildly, right? Far too much. Far too much. Why is he doing that? But does Bibi actually give him orders? No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe get a bunch of crap in the comments for that take. But there you go. That's my feeling. All right, the iPaper, says Starmer plots calls for a softer Brexit as leadership rival circle. Okay, so this is another different story. For once, the first paper that's not going with it. And I realised we're already 35 minutes in, so I have to hurry along a bit here. But this story is about that there's people that want to supplant Sir Keir Starmer as the Prime Minister, namely Wes Streeting and Andy Burnham. And both of those are a lot more left-leaning or a lot more Ramona, a lot more Romaniac than Starmer or the Conservative Party or Reform or whatever. And so to undercut them, it seems, is the political calculation from Keir Starmer. To undercut them, he's becoming even softer on Brexit. Brilliant. You know, screw what the majority of the British people voted for and want. You know, screw that. What's more important to Starmer is his position, it seems. That's that in a nutshell. The Daily Express fears Starmer is plotting a full-blown Brexit betrayal. So yeah, again, that's the same thing that he's talking about. I won't get into the detail here, but talking about the freedom of movement, he said he's not going to reintroduce the freedom of movement from the EU, but they might have a closer just closer economic ties with the European bloc. And he said it's in our national interest to do that. It's not. It's not. Europe as a whole is a sort of a shrinking economy, or certainly growing slower than the UK economy, which is growing really slowly. But it's growing even more slowly. So I don't get how it's in our national interest. It's not. And yet, that's the sort of noises Keir Starmer is making because he's a weak fool of a man. The Daily Star, anyone who isn't British, just to let you know, the Daily Star is a bit more sensationalist, a bit more slop, a bit more sort of National Enquirer level. Although, to be fair, sometimes they break an important story. Occasionally I've seen The Star break an important story that the rest of the mainstream media are like afraid to touch. But anyway, they are a bit more sort of sensationalist. And pardon me, they've gone with AJ's pain for lost brothers. That's Anthony Joshua, the Nigerian boxer, pretending to be British, was in a car crash. If anyone saw, he had a fight with Jake Paul, didn't he, the other day? Broke his jaw. Broke Jake Paul's jaw in two places. Pretty bad injury. Used to be, not that long ago, heavyweight champion. So, anyway, he was in a car crash where two of his mates died. They're not literally his brothers. That's why they're in, brothers is in inverted commas there. But yeah, he was in a really bad car crash where two people died and he is like mildly injured, it seems. Obviously not too badly because there's a picture of him there, but yeah, he escaped with his life just about. Wow, sort of, that's a crazy thing, isn't it? Right, the Sun, the proper tabloid, this proper British tabloid, the Sun, they've decided to go with Joshua's story as well. AJ's pledge to families of brothers. Yeah, okay. The Mirror. What an embarrassment. On this day, they've decided the most important story to go on their front page is that Jesse Nelson from Little Mix. There's a really shit girl band. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't swear. Carl doesn't like swearing. There's a very poor girl band called Little Mix, of which this bird was in it. And she's got two twins. And they're really ill and may grow up not to be able to walk, which is obviously a really sad story. Is it front page news on the 5th of January 2026? No, obviously not. But there you go, that's the Mirror. That's the Mirror for you. All right, so let's have a quick look then at just some of the websites. Quick whip round. BBC News website, obviously going with Trump. Oh, nearly all of these will just be going with the Trump thing. And the Venezuela thing. So because I've talked about that a fair bit, haven't I, already now. If there's any other stuff, I'll sort of try and focus on that. Well, teen girl educated in UK confirmed to have died in Swiss bar fire. Yeah, that was bad, wasn't it? Just see that over the weekend, or was it right at the end of, it was at New Year's, wasn't it? So, a bar in Switzerland, an underground bar in Switzerland, a fire started, and there was only one way out. There's only one stairwell out of there. A fire started and loads of people burnt to death. 40 plus, was it? Mostly young people celebrating New Year. So that's obviously a terrible, horrible tragedy. There was one clip I saw on Twitter. Apparently, the way it started, they had champagne bottles with sparklers in them, right? Bit of a weird thing. Not really seen that much before, but that's what they were doing. And people were holding these up and playing around with them. And there was something on the ceiling, some sort of, not sure whether it was cladding or some sort of decorations on the ceiling. Anyway, the ceiling sort of caught fire. And as it's beginning to spread, well, it's already sort of going, fully going. There's clips on Twitter of loads of people in the bar, many of them subsequently burnt to death in the next few minutes, filming it on their phone, cheering and dancing around and jumping around and whooping it up. An incredible clip, really. Very, very sad clip, but incredible. Because why would you act like that? You're either so drunk you don't really realise the danger you're in, or you're a complete idiot. You don't realise what danger you're in. If you're ever in a confined space, a crowded confined space with only one exit, and a fire is breaking out, you're in extreme danger at that moment. Probably don't get your phone out and just stand there filming it and even laughing and joking and whooping it up. A mad clip. But anyway, okay. The Swiss fire is sort of in the news cycle all at the moment. All right, let's see what it is. ITV News, what are they going with? People with healthy BMI using AI to get weight loss jabs. Okay. Much more Venezuela things. What have we got? Channel 4 News. Anyone who doesn't know, Channel 4 News is the wokest of the woke. It's up there with The Guardian or whatever. It's like a hyper woke. So they're going with, when they go with the Trump stuff, their angle, their take is, of course, that it's the most terrible, worst thing ever. You know, no mention of Maduro's crimes, his manifest crimes. No real mention of stuff like that. Just that it's terrible and illegal. That's their angle on everything. Because of course it is, because it's the Channel 4 News. Well, they've gone with an Iran story here. Iran's supreme leader calls for talks with protesters while insisting they, quote, must be put in their place, quote. So that's another big thing in the news cycle at the moment. All across Iran, there's all sorts of protests, again, against the regime. Not uncommon now. And they're pretty big protests, pretty serious ones. People die in them. Like two people here, five people there die in these protests. It's not like just a few mums holding a placard up outside a government building. It's not like a Tommy rally. right? It's real, the real deal. Life and death type protests across Iran. And the Ayatollah says they must be put in their place. The other thing Trump has said recently over the weekend, or was it at the end of last week? He said, if Iran starts killing people, I mean, they are already killing people, but I suppose he means if they start killing them en masse, like Tiananmen Square style massacres and things, if they start doing that, he, Trump, is prepared to stand up for the protesters. You know, what that really means, who knows exactly what that means. But so again, Iran in a bit of Persia, in a bit of strife, as has kind of nearly always been the case since ancient Assyrian times. There you go. All right, let's see what else we've got. Sky News. Sky News, very, very woke. I think it always used to be. Back in the 90s, I never really got the feeling that Sky was particularly subversive or woke, but they are now. They've gone with their sort of top story at the moment is a 14-year-old girl and a man are in this hotel. That's a quote from somebody. A 14-year-old girl and a man are in this hotel. How police are stepping up to protect children. Yeah, right. You found one story. Yeah. Again, anyone who doesn't know has been living under a rock. The police, it's great in Manchester as well, the irony. The police have historically absolutely failed to protect hundreds of thousands of children. Haven't they? Okay, blizzard conditions forecast, an amber warning in force as UK returns to work and school. Oh yeah, that's the thing. So the weather in the UK at the moment is really bad. My walk here this morning, a couple of hours ago, it was a bit frosty, but it wasn't absolutely freezing. It was cold, but it wasn't absolutely Baltic. There was no snow. But across, in all sorts of parts of the UK, there are snowstorms, blizzards, and it's set to be more. So yeah, I say everyone's back to work and at school. I saw some other headlines saying that there's quite a few schools closed this morning. If you're watching this, it may be that you're sitting at home with your kiddie winks and they're not in school this morning because the school's closed because there's too much snow. So that's the thing. I'm in the King's Guard. There's one thing the public does that annoys us most. Don't care. Okay. With a lot of these, I'll look at the web page. Look at the biggest stories, and then at some point it will get to sort of a stupid story, stupid, insignificant, flippant story that I don't care about, and or no one really should care about, and I'll just move on from there. All right, the Daily Mail, obviously going with the Trump Venezuela stuff. Keir Starmer faces revolt by Labour's Maduro apologists. Okay, it's the same thing as they had. What's this? Arctic freeze grinds Britain to a halt. Andrew Neil. Disgusting, fat, globalist chill, Andrew Neil says, Emperor Trump's narcissistic imperial ambitions should send a shiver down the spine of America's near neighbours, such as Greenland and Canada. Shut up, Andrew Neil. Mug. Andrew Neil, give me a break. Is he still alive? Daily Express. Pompous Rachel Reeves has just told a huge whopper. It proves she's completely deluded. And the sort of byline says, the Chancellor's self-congratulatory message is, sorry, the webpage is a bit, is something most ill-judged move yet and will come back to haunt her. So apparently our Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel from Accounts, Rachel Thieves, has done sort of some sort of self-congratulatory message. So there you go. Oh, what, Fergie's in the news. The ex-Duchess of York, Prince Andrew's ex-wife. And the headline says, desperate, Sarah Ferguson, quote, disgraces herself with King Charles' plea. Apparently she sent out some sort of message or some sort of, I don't know, Christmas cards or some. So she said something or other, and she was trying to ingratiate herself with the King, King Charles III. And people are, the chattering classes are saying that it was desperate and disgraces herself. Oh, if you don't know, she's wrapped up in the whole Epstein thing along with Andrew. Not necessarily that she's like guilty of sex crimes or anything. Although maybe, I don't know, I really don't know. But just that she's, the taint of it all is smeared across her as well. Or that she was, what is true, which is documented, is that she still considered herself a very, very, very close personal friend of Jeffrey Epstein long after his paedophile conviction. So that's why, if nothing else, she's sort of, you know, out of favour probably forever with the royal family. So yeah, Fergie, there you go. She's always been an obnoxious person, so you know, shan't shed a tear for old Fergie. The Sun, and going with Anthony Joshua again. All right, oh, so let's go around the world now. That's enough of Britain. Oh, so we're 50 minutes in. Okay, well, my timing hasn't been great. In the coming days and weeks, we'll get the timing a bit better. Or maybe not. Maybe most of the audience will be British people and they were fine with that. Let me know in the comments. So quick round. Le Monde in France. They go with the Venezuela thing, obviously. They say, US operation in Venezuela, Trump's America First now runs through Caracas. It's in translation. This is obviously a French newspaper, a French news organ, and that's an English translation. Not perfect English as far as I'm concerned, but there you go. All right, what about Bild, which is the German, probably the main German news outlet. Can you get rid of that, Harry? We've got some sort of thing. I don't know. Oh, there you go. Well done. They go with, is Israel planning an attack on Imran's nuclear facility? On Iran's nuclear facilities. Is Israel planning an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities? They ask. Yeah. Why is the police chasing a boy with a Palestinian flag? Uproar over alleged photo of Julian Assange. Putin wanted to hang me, says Georgia's former president. LGBTQ is not acceptable in our religion, says some German Muslim. Putin's bombs killed a doctor on her way to clinic. Did these gold teeth really come from victims of torture? And that's in the Russian war again. Dead Russian soldiers still lying in the streets. So a lot of the Russian war stuff in German news this morning. Millions of Afghans will flee. Senator Graham refuses to meet with CDU boss Mertz. Interesting. See, none of the other papers in Britain said anything about all this stuff, did they? All right. Let's see what else we've got. TASS or TASS is one of the big Russian news outlet. They're saying air defences down 3 Ukrainian drones over Russian regions overnight, say top brass. I guess Russian top brass. They say US triumph in Venezuela could turn into disaster, says a Russian senator. Maduro to appear in court on January the 5th. Okay. Okay, so that's the Russians. So talking big about their own war, of course. I put this link in India, the Indian Express, and I had a quick look through this website, and it was clown shoes. It was nonsense. It really was nothing of any real interest to anyone outside of India. So I'll move on from it. what's this? The Japanese one, Kyoto News, Japanese wire. And they're talking about all sorts of different things as well. Obviously, you know, their government. It says, end of Japan's 26-year ruling coalition. They were saying there's some sort of New Year's Eve auction, which seemed to be a big thing in Japan. If anyone's Japanese watching this or just knows loads about Japan, let me know about what the New Year's auction is, because there's more than one story about it. Like the selling of cherries and how much they went for at this auction thing. It's like it's national news there. What's that about? Let me know. The LA Times, obviously pretty woke. US forces seize Venezuelan leader. And they say there's things about the weather in California and things about American football, or just football, as Americans call it. Was it the New York Times? They run with, Trump says US is, quote, in charge, quote, of Venezuela, while Rubio stresses coercing it. Okay. Venezuela's new leader calls for dialogue and coexistence with US. Yeah, she realizes how to stay out of an American jail. Trump suggests US could take action against more countries. I mean, I don't want to line up with like neocon hawks. I really don't want to. The actual George Bush Jr. era neocons were a disgusting bunch of criminals as far as I was concerned. But nonetheless, sometimes what they wanted do line up with things I would like to see. Like, I would love to see Delta Force and the US military stomp a mud hole clear through the Mexican cartels. I would bloody love that. They are the scum of the earth. They are the worst of the worst. But then something like that, foreign intervention like that, a lot of MAGA people wouldn't want like to see, would be annoyed for me for even saying that. People say, oh, you're lining up with the neocons, are you? Well, you know, sometimes what you want on your views do line up with people that you wouldn't necessarily want to be a bedfellow with politically. I don't know, will Trump do more stuff like this? What do you think? Will Trump go into Mexico, Colombia, or wherever? Cuba, Greenland, Iran? Who knows? Okay, what have we got? The Washington Post? Yes, the Washington Post. They run with US plan to, quote, run, quote, Venezuela. Their plan is clouded in confusion. Yeah, it's a bit, isn't it? I mean, that's fair. I mean, the Washington Post is obviously super woke, but that is fair to say, isn't it? It's a bit clouded in confusion. It's not clear. I said on the State of Politics, my other channel that I do with Mr. H Reviews, State of Politics, TSOP. I said there, Venezuela hangs in the balance, doesn't it? It's teetering on the edge. It could fall one way or the other. Who knows? Will it end up some sort of terrible Iraq bloodbath nightmare? Or will they quite quickly, with loads of American boots on the ground, and it's another forever war? Or will it quite quickly, you know, sort itself out, hold free elections and get on with it? Get their economy out of the doldrums and there's no need for any US, further US intervention whatsoever. Because Venezuela and Iraq, let's be fair, are very, very, very different beasts. Very different beasts. Right? Maduro wasn't, like Saddam, wasn't holding together murderous, religious, sectarian factions that were just ready to massacre each other. That's not the case in Venezuela, is it? And then it's a much more civilized country than Iraq ever was. They've got a civil society, haven't they? They used to. So the hope is that though it is still clouded in confusion at the moment, that those clouds of confusion will clear quite quickly and Venezuela can start over again in some news way. Okay, so I thought I'd have a quick look at Twitter. There's a million and one different sort of news accounts on Twitter, aren't there? And so I won't use the same one every single day, but it's worth looking at Twitter. Or, you know, because a lot of people get their news just from Twitter now, don't they? Usually things break on Twitter first, don't they? I've seen things, big things, breaking all over Twitter hours before the legacy corporate mainstream media run with any of it. Hours sometimes. So what are they saying here? Obviously they're going with the Maduro thing. There's that lady, Delcy Rodriguez. Been part of the problem for years. When on the news conference with Trump yesterday, someone said to him, have you spoken to the opposition leaders? There were various opposition leaders in Venezuela, more than one. One's a guy, one's a woman. Anyway, they said to Trump, have you spoken to them? And he was just like, no. And that was it. It was basically no. Anyway, next question, what else? There was no real, there was nothing there, it didn't seem like. So again, we'll see what happens. Here, talking about there's a petition to dissolve Parliament and call a general election now. 100,000 signatures on that. Of course, Sir Keir Starmer will do no such thing. Because he's like an old school red, really. Certainly a pinko. He will hold on to power till the last possible moment. There's no way, for all his weakness, the one thing he's not weak about is holding on to his own position. classic leftist. Classic goddamn socialist. What's this? Greece has closed its airspace with all flights to and from the country cancelled following a reported technical failure that knocked out key air traffic control radio frequencies, according to initial reports. Okay, that's news to me. I was reading that in real time for the first time there. So, Greece. Stelios. Is Stelios back in today, Harry? Do you know?
I'm actually not sure.
Yeah. So I wonder if Stelios is trapped in Greece, because he's gone home to Greece for the holidays. So it may well be that Stelios, our Lotus Eater Stelios, is trapped in Greece. I don't know. Okay, we're coming up to the hour. So thank you, Harry.
Yeah, no, it was good.
And thank you all you guys out there for watching this inaugural stream, the first Bow Show. Again, a glorious band, the chosen few. And let us know in the comments what you liked, what you didn't like, what you thought worked, what you thought didn't work, what you'd like to see more of, all that sort of thing. As I say, we'll let you know. We'll probably change things up over the coming days and weeks to sort of fine-tune it. All right, well, that's the show. That's 9 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your day. Do try and make it count if you can. I don't want to sound all preachy, tell people what to do, but you know, this is the first day of the rest of your life. You'll only have this day once in history, right? So try and make the most of it if you can. If there's anyone out there that you love and you haven't told them that in a long time, do ring up your dear old mum. If you've got an estranged child, ring them up, tell them you love them. All right. Until tomorrow, then, take care.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menard. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.